जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 38। वयम् तु साक्षात् भगवन् भवस्य प्रियस्य सख्यो क्षणसंगमेन सुदुश्चिकित्स्य भवस्य मृत्योर् भीषक्तमं त्वाद्यगतिं गतास्म। वयं तु साक्षात् भगवन् भवस्य प्रियस्य सख्यो क्षणसंगमेन सुदुश्चिकित्स्य भवस्य मृत्योर् भीषक्तमं त्वाद्यगतिं गतास्म। वयं तु साक्षात् भगवन् भवस्य प्रियस्य सख्यो क्षणसंगमेन सुदुश्चिकित्स्य भवस्य मृत्यो भीषक्तमं त्वाद्यगतिं गतास्म। वयं तु साक्षात् भगवन् भवस्य प्रियस्य सख्यो क्षणसंगमेन सुदुश्चिकित्स्य भवस्य मृत्योर् Bishaktamad. Vayam tu sakshat bhagavan bhavasya priyasya sakhyo kshana sangamena sudushchikitsyasya bhavasya mrityo bishaktamam tvadyagatim bhavasya. Ladies, please. Priyasya sakhyo kshana sangamena sudushchikitsasya bhavatsya mrityo bhishaktama. Vayam tu sakshat bhagavan bhavasya priyasya sakhyo kshana sangamena sudushchikitsyasya bhavasya mrityo bhishaktam tvat. Vayam, we, tu, then, sakshat, directly, bhagavan, O Lord, bhavasya, of Lord Shiva, priyasya, very dear, sakhyu, your friend, kshana, for a moment, sangamena, by association, sudushchikitsyasya, very difficult to cure, bhavasya, of material existence, mrityoho, of death, bhishaktamam, the most expert physician, tva, you, adya, today, gatim, destination, gataha, have achieved, sma, certainly. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. It has been said, Harim vina na shrutim. Not shrutim. Harim vina na shrutim tarandi. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya, the repetition of birth, old age, disease and death. The Prachetas received the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the Supreme Devotee of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. The most exalted Vaishnava is Lord Shiva, and those who are actually devotees of Lord Shiva follow Lord Shiva's advice and take shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu. The so-called devotees of Lord Shiva who are simply after material prosperity, are in a way deceived by Lord Shiva. He does not actually deceive them, because Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people. But because the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva want to be deceived, Lord Shiva, who is very easily pleased, allows them all kinds of material benedictions. These benedictions might ironically result in the destruction of the so-called devotees. For instance, Ravana took all material benedictions from Lord Shiva, but the result was that he was ultimately destroyed with his family, kingdom and everything else because he misused Lord Shiva's benediction. Because of his material power, he became very proud and puffed up so that he dared kidnap the wife of Lord Ramachandra. In this way, he was ruined. To get material benediction from Lord Shiva is not difficult. But actually, these are not benedictions. The Prachetas received benediction from Lord Shiva, and as a result, they attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is real benediction. The gopis also worship Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, and the Lord is still staying there as Gopishwara. The gopis, however, prayed that Lord Shiva bless them by giving them Lord Krishna as their husband. There is no harm in worshipping the demigods, provided that one's aim is to return home back to Godhead. Generally, people go to the demigods for material benefit, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 20. Kamaisteste hruta jnana prapadyante nidevata tam tam niyamam asthaya prakritya niyata svaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. One enamored by material benefits is called hritajnana, one who has lost his intelligence. In this connection, it is to be noted that sometimes in the revealed scriptures, Lord Shiva is described as being non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are so intimately connected that there is no difference in opinion. The actual fact is, Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Ara Sabha Bhritya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna and all others are his devotees or servants. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, 5th chapter, text 142. This is the real fact, and there is no difference of opinion between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in this connection. Nowhere in revealed scriptures does Lord Shiva claim to be equal to Lord Vishnu. This is simply the creation of the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva who claim that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. This is strictly forbidden in the Vaishnava Tantra, Yastu Narayanam Devam. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are intimately connected as master and servants. Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Shiva is honored and offered obeisances. Vishnu is honored and offered obeisances by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To consider that they are all equal is a great offense. They are all equal in the sense that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all others are his eternal servants. Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A very important Vaishnava principle is the verse that we sing every day. Every day in the morning, we begin the day with that verse. Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado. Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi dhyayamstu vamstu yashastri sandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam. That summarizes in one verse the whole process by which one can gain mercy of Krishna. That is, when one receives the mercy of the spiritual master or a Vaishnava, Krishna's mercy follows. And if one does anything to interfere, if you will, or obstruct by one's own foolishness, by one's own insensitiveness or lack of sensibility or lack of proper understanding or pride or whatever is the reason, if one blocks in his or her life the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot expect to achieve the mercy of Krishna. In fact, it is not possible. Yasya aprasadan nagati kutopi. Nagati kutopi means there is no other way. There is absolutely no other way. One cannot think, let me see if I can go, if I chant my rounds nicely, if I serve the devotees very nicely. Well, we're talking about devotees in general. So let's say one thinks, if I chant very nicely, if I preach very nicely, I will get Krishna's mercy. What Krishna looks at is, what is your relationship with the devotees, especially spiritual master? If that is not in place, you can do anything. And all for the, all that grandeur show, we will get is a ton of appreciation. And that's the end of it. That's the end of the deal there. Get a lot of appreciation, and we think, oh, this is mercy. Krishna's reciprocating. He's so, he's appreciating all my preaching so much. All we get is appreciation, and that's about it. The real transformation of the heart, the softening, what will not awaken is real compassion. So it's very important. And the prachetas here are acknowledging that even if he had a moment association with Lord Shiva, who by the way is very priya, very dear to you, Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastra. Kintu Priyas. What is that third line? Kintu Prabhurya Priya Eva Tasya. My gosh. Consciousness is congested. Priyasya. Kintu Prabhurya Priya Eva Tasya. Priya, very dear to Krishna. So Krishna gives mercy through his very dear devotees. It is not accessible otherwise. On Sunday, Balaram Prabhu explained it very nicely. He said, we have heard this verse many times, that if you water the root of the tree, the entire tree is nourished. To energize the body, we have to feed the stomach. But he said, well, how do you water the root of the tree? You have to water the root of the tree through the soil. The soil is the agency that allows water to go to the root. He said, you don't dig out the tree and then pour water on the root. He said, you don't offer food to the stomach directly. You have to offer it to the agency of the mouth. And he said, if something happens to the mouth, you have a little blister, something, you cannot put food to the stomach. So the devotees of Krishna are those agencies through which Krishna is accessed. And any little, even a slight aberration will cause a serious effect. In science, we say that certain systems are sensitive. Sensitive means for a very small input change, the output is very big change. That's a sensitive system, like a sensitive devotee. Small change in feedback and very big mental difference. Sensitive devotee. So Krishna consciousness is a very sensitive process. A small deviation causes a very serious effect. Sometimes we think, what's the problem? It's only a small thing. It's not a small thing. It's a small thing in action, but it's a big deviation in consciousness. And the guru, it seems like is correcting our behaviors, but actually is correcting our consciousness, because that's where the bigger deviation is. Why was Prabhupada so heavy? Something was changed. He would say, who gave you this idea? Why did you change this? Etc. So he would be very heavy. because he's not correcting behavior per se, he's correcting the consciousness that leads to deviant behavior. The Prachetas are acknowledging Priyasya Sakhyo Kshanak Sangamena. So we had a very short association with Lord Shiva, who's very dear to you. And because of that, Sakshan Bhagavan, Sakshat, directly we're able to perceive you. Very important principle. Lord Shiva is called Bhava because in Sanskrit, Bhava means to be. So this material world is called Bhavasagara. It's the ocean where there is to be, meaning there is birth, death, old age, disease, then again birth, old age, disease, death, birth, like that. Because it happens again and again and again, it is called Bhava. And Lord Shiva is the personality through whom all the living entities enter into this material realm. And his wife is called Bhavani, Bhava and Bhavani, the wife or the consort, the agency, the energy that oversees the entire material existence, material energy. She is the material energy. So he's called Bhava. Prabhupada is taking our attention to Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. They're not equal, but they're very intimate. And they're so intimate that they're equal in this way that they have absolutely no difference in opinions. And then he said there are many devotees, so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who go to Lord Shiva for all sorts of benedictions. And Lord Shiva, quote-unquote, deceives them. He says, actually, Lord Shiva has no business deceiving anyone because a pure devotee doesn't deceive. But his devotees are so materially oriented that if they don't get that, they throw a tantrum. So to give them the little candy and finish the nuisance, he gives them benedictions. Example is Ravana. Ravana had this super benediction from Lord Shiva. Every morning, Ravana would wake up and he would perform Abhishek for a million Shivalingas. They were so powerful and so devoted, but never understood what really Lord Shiva can give. Lord Shiva can give love for Lord Vishnu. What he got out of it was such a lusty heart that he dared kidnap Sita Devi. Tomorrow is Sri Rama Vijayotsava. It's also the appearance day of Sri Madhvacharya. Rama Vijayotsava is the day Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana and got Sita back. So Ravana got a little crazy. There's another pastime in Bhagavatam about a demon called Vrikasura. Vrikasura, he wanted a special benediction from Lord Shiva. So he lit a little fire, yajna, to invite Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva did not come. Lord Shiva doesn't just come because someone lit a fire. So he said, oh, okay, I will offer my flesh into the fire. So that is my austerity, and Lord Shiva will be attracted by my austerity. So he cut a piece of flesh from his body and offered it into the fire. Lord Shiva did not come. Then he offered bigger chunks of flesh from his body into the fire. Lord Shiva did not come. So he tried, Lord Shiva did not come. Finally decided, I will cut off my head and offer it into the fire. And he was ready to cut off his head when Lord Shiva came and said, hey, what do you want? He said, I want this benediction. Listen, after Lord Shiva appeared, The benediction he asks is so silly. He says, I want a benediction that whosoever head I touch should blow up into 1,000 pieces. And to add to the, I guess, fancy of it, Lord Shiva said, Tathastu, so be it. He asked for a foolish benediction, and interestingly, Lord Shiva fulfilled it. Yeah, so be it. So then demon Virikasura, he was not too convinced whether it will really work or not. He said, I want to make sure this benediction will work. So I want to touch your head, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, no way. No, I want to try. And so now he was in hot pursuit of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was thinking, what kind of benediction I gave this fellow? He's become my own headache, literally headache. So as they were running through the forest, a little Brahmana boy appeared in front of Vrikasura and said, Prabhu, what's going on? He said, I got this very special benediction from Lord Shiva, and I want to know if it works or not. So what benediction did you get? Oh, if I touch someone's head, it will blow up into 1,000 pieces. So then the Brahmana boy said, you know, Lord Shiva's blessings don't work. Sometimes he gives these blessings, but generally in some cases it doesn't work at all. He said, really? He said, yeah. In fact, this blessing will not even work for you. So he was a little disappointed. And so the Brahmana boy, because he was very small, very good looking, so attractive, that by his beauty he charmed this Virikasura. And he said, it's harmless. Even if you touch your head, nothing will happen. So the fellow touched his own head. And boom! That was the end of Virikasura. The little Brahmana boy is Lord Vishnu, who appeared to protect Lord Shiva against that silly Virikasura demon. Actually, that pastime has an important message, among other messages, in connection with Yasya Aprasadat Nagati Kutopi. When Virikasura represents that person who, when he receives benediction, he bites the very hand that feeds. And that is so dangerous that it will bring upon the destruction of such a person. So it's never that a beneficiary, a disciple, a whoever, when they are recipients of mercy, they should never try to outsmart the source of that mercy. It's an important lesson. In this connection, Prabhupada narrates a story of called Punar Mushika Bhava. There was a sage who was in meditation, and one day a little mouse came by and he squeaked. So the sage opened his eyes and said, yes, what can I do for you? Being a mouse is really troublesome. Can you please do something about it? Oh, well, who's bothering you? Yeah, the cat is bothering me. Jitendra Prabhu's cats. So I said, what would you like? So please make me another cat. That way we're equals and there's no problem. So he said, sprinkled water and said, may you become a cat. And suddenly the mouse became a cat. Jerry became Tom. Whatever that is, right? Tom and Jerry, right? Tom is cat, right? Oh, anyway, doesn't matter. So he started purring around and he started chasing the mice and all that. He was having fun. A few days later, he came back crying to the sage. So the sage said, now what's the problem? He said, the dogs are chasing me. Every time Carlos walks by, the dog is bothering me. And apparently, it's two dogs. They're bothering me. So what would you like? So make me a dog. All right. Tathastu. I became a dog. And then a few days later, he was running around barking, lifting his leg, doing all the things. And then he came back sad. He said, now what's the problem? He said, the tiger's on prowl and I'm afraid that the tiger will eat me up. Sister said, what would you like me to do? You please make me a tiger. Oh, okay. Became a tiger. As soon as he became a tiger, he looked at the sage and he said, nice prasadam. I would like to eat you for lunch. So he growled and slurped and licked his face and said, ready for lunch. So sage became upset. He said, rascal, by my mercy, I made you from a mouse to a tiger. And now you dare show your fangs to me. Sprinkled some water and said, Punar Mushika Bhava. You rascal, you again become a mouse. Little tiny ran away. And Prabhupada quotes that the lesson is to never show our fangs to the very person who's giving us life. Whatever is the situation, whatever is the challenge, whatever is, we may even be right. Still, never to show fangs to the persons who are giving us mercy, especially spiritual master. That's the complete end of bhakti. It's the dead end. So these so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, they misuse. They don't understand what Lord Shiva can really offer. So Prabhupada says there is no harm in approaching the demigods for bhakti. There's no harm in approaching them to feel strengthened for executing bhakti. And he gives the example that even the gopis worshipped Lord Shiva. And he's still there in Vrindavan as Gopishwara. The message from today's class is not that we should all go to demigods from here. That's not the message. There is no need for us to go to the demigods. In fact, it is described that the spiritual master is the embodiment of all the devatas. So before we begin any worship of Krishna, if we remember the spiritual master and offer our respects to the spiritual master, all the devatas are automatically satisfied. So we don't have to have Ganesha and others, not necessary. Prabhupada did not ask us to do that, so it's not required. I am told that I'm one of the unpopular leaders among the Hindu community because I don't encourage Shivaratri, Ganesh Chaturthi, Durga Puja, all of that. And may those people be upset with me because we are not changing anything. Nowhere in the entire 11 years that Srila Prabhupada registered and managed the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, nowhere was any of such festival ever observed. Prabhupada kept our attention very chaste towards Krishna. Because the human being, especially a person who has the tendency whose intelligence can be lost, Hrita Jnana, can very easily deviate, thinking, oh, I'm asking the demigods for some benediction towards bhakti. That will lead into, on the side, can you also take care of some other things for me? So Krishna says, kamaistaiste rahita jnana. Because of the resident lust, one will approach demigods for fulfillment of material needs. There is no need for us to do so. Being completely chaste to the Guru Parampara and Krishna will bring us more than what we need. Yesterday I was having a discussion with devotees where the topic was we should not worry whether Krishna will Krishna will manifest what we need at the right time. Krishna will. There is nowhere in history where Krishna failed to show up when the devotee was in need. So one of his names is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who doesn't fail. So it's not that he was there for a million of his devotees, but one devotee, he could make it on time. There was no such devotee ever in history where Krishna did not appear for them or manifest his mercy when it was needed. There is no such devotee. Whether it is Draupadi, whether it is Gajendra, whether it is Prahlad Maharaj, whether it is Dhruva, whoever, it doesn't matter. It may even regular devotees like us who don't show up in the Bhagavatam, even for us, Krishna never fails. And if a little devotional service is offered, Krishna remembers that. He is very obliged. But those whose intelligence is lost means that those who have a material idea of what mercy should look like. And that material idea is that mercy should manifest in material things. This is not mercy. This is lack of intelligence. Then Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is described as non-different from Lord Vishnu. The non-difference is in opinion. The non-difference is in purpose. So there is a verse from the 8th canto, 7th verse, 7th chapter. The chapter is titled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. This is during the churning of the milk ocean, and when the demigods and the demons were churning, Lord Vishnu also holds Vasuki and churns the ocean very, very strongly. And by that, the first thing, they were all expecting nectar, and the first thing that appears is the Kalakuta poison. And that poison is quickly spreading throughout the universe, the fumes of which are so unbearable. And so everyone runs to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, as described, was found sitting under a banyan tree with his associates, the great sages, and they were discussing Krishna Katha. And Goddess Parvati was sitting right by his side, And when the sages offered these wonderful prayers, one of the prayers, the verse 44, is tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho jana. That tapyante means they take on suffering for the sake of lokatapena, because the living entities are suffering. So great Vaishnavas like Lord Shiva, they will take on voluntarily, they will take on difficulties, difficult situations, austerities, challenging situations, just to relieve the suffering conditioned souls. Lokata pena. And it's not once or twice, prayaso. Always, almost always. Prayaso jana. Why? Because they understand paramaradhanam tadhi. They understand that the highest form of worship of Lord Vishnu, purushasya akhilatmanah, is in relieving the distress of others. So it's described that this is the definition of a sadhu. Sadhu means one who relieves the distress of others. So it is important that a human being make his or her goal of life to relieve the suffering of others, meaning to become sadhu. One will not become a sadhu unless one has the mercy of a sadhu. We cannot become an engineer unless we are trained by engineers. We cannot become doctors unless we are trained by doctors. We cannot become a mechanic unless we are trained by mechanics. We cannot become a cook unless we are trained by cooks. Simple. We cannot become sadhu unless we are mercy, unless we have received mercy from a sadhu. So Lord Shiva is always thinking about relieving others of distress, and Lord Vishnu is always thinking about relieving others of distress. In this sense, they are one. But ontologically, identity-wise, they are not one. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and all the demigods, the sages, they're all servants of Krishna. ಏಕಲೇ ಈಶ್ವರ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆರ ಸವ ಭೃತ್ಯ. ಭೃತ್ಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್, ಭರ್ತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಮೇಂಟೈನರ್. ಭೃತ್ಯ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮೇಂಟೈನ್ಡ್, ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್, ಎವ್ರಿ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ಮೇಂಟೈನ್ಡ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡ್ಲೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ ದೇ ಬಿಲಾಂಗ್ ಟು. ಜೀವ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ, ಸಮದ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ, ಡಸಂಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್. ಏಕಲೇ ಈಶ್ವರ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. So to follow or to receive benedictions from Lord Shiva means really, in the real sense, is to pray to him to enhance our attraction to Krishna. Any other prayer will not bring the real mercy from Lord Shiva. And the Prachetas, this prayer is a prayer of gratitude. The Prachetas are expressing their gratitude that the fruit, they're realizing that because they've received mercy from Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality is standing right in front of them. That is the fruit of that mercy. And they're very grateful for it. And what is the outcome? They say, you are the best of doctors. Bhishak, Bhishaktamam. Bhishak means doctor. And Sudush Chikitsyasya means something, there's a disease that is very difficult to cure. As devotees of Krishna, we should understand that having met a pure devotee of Krishna, our life is already destined for perfection. Everything else is bonus. Now, the only thing that can really mess it up is our interference. Our interference meaning to do something against that natural progressive track. Having met a devotee and received mercy, meaning the chanting of Hare Krishna, the following of the regulative principles, the offering of devotional service, that has already set us on the track for perfection. The only thing to do is to mess it up. The only thing not to do is to don't mess it up. That perfection is already guaranteed. We don't have to be like the Prachetas. In Kali Yuga, nobody can be like the Prachetas. We have to be like the Prachetas in spirit. Prabhupada said, love means cooperation. And that's what they signify, that they're able to cooperate with each other. So I don't want to take the discussion into cooperation, because that's not the mood of the verse here. It's being very grateful and acknowledging the mercy of a devotee. And they're offering this prayer to Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu in front of them, that we are here because of Lord Shiva's mercy. And by his mercy, you have appeared in front of us. That is the power. So, comments, questions? You want to add something? Let me ask him. First. You want to add something? Right? Okay. Go ahead, Himanshu Prabhu.
I was, when you were speaking at the beginning of the class about the importance of relationship with the spiritual
master. Speak into the mic, please.
When you were speaking at the beginning of the class about the relationship with the spiritual master and how relevant that is, I was thinking about how sometimes the nature of our relationship with the spiritual master may be such that it could appear bewildering to others. Like you know how Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Shiva's Pandit's son died, and he told his family members, you know, don't cry because it'll interrupt Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So that could be a little bewildering. I'm not saying that happens in our lives or we're trying to imitate that example, but I was just wondering if you could speak a little bit about that, you know, for the devotee who's trying to have a sincere relationship with the spiritual master, And he has to do certain things to maintain and deepen that relationship, while at the same time respect and serve the devotees he's living with. How to balance those two things?
Sincere is different from sentimental. Sometimes sentimental people are very sincere. In fact, their sincerity is like, wow. But if it is sentimental, that sincerity allows for other aspects to creep in. Allow other aspects such as envy, possessiveness, proprietorship. They enter the relationship. But if the relationship is sincere, genuinely sincere, philosophically grounded, proper sambandha, jnana based, then there is room for cooperation, sharing, etc. So our sincere expression of service should not cause anxiety for others. Now some others may also be either sentimental or something, and they may be disturbed. But that's not our business. Our business is not to fix the others. Our business is to fix ourselves in our service to Sri Guru. So it's an important conversation to have, as I notice something that because I'm serving in this way, it seems to cause some disturbance or misunderstanding in my relationship with others. How do I resolve this? It's also nice to have conversations with other devotees, because we may be thinking we're very sincere, which we might be. But how do others see us? It's important to know. Now, we don't live our lives just because others see us in this way or that way. But it's important to know. The devotee is sensitive to what are others' perceptions. It's also important to express our perceptions of things. It's part of Gokhya Makhyati within devotees, so that we can understand each other. There are many pastimes of a very sincere disciple or devotee serving the spiritual master and others becoming a little upset or confused or questioning or doubtful. And there are many pastimes where the sincere disciple was protected by the spiritual master, and there are several stories where that was good for the spiritual master to help the so-called disciple who was sincere but really was not really understanding what is service to Guru. You want to know pastimes? Okay. I won't narrate the pastimes. Two quick pastimes from the life of Sri Ramanujacharya is Dhanurdas and his wife, and all of Ramanujacharya's sannyasis and brahmacharis were very disturbed as to why Guru Maharaj is giving so much mercy to a grahastha. So there's a whole pastime where he asked, you know, the dhotis and gamchas to be mixed up, you know that one, and they were fighting with each other. Whereas Dhanurdas and his wife were very charitable with all their jewelry, etc. The other pastime is Ramanujacharya sent a word through his disciples to such and such person that please let him know that very soon I'll come and stay in his house, I'll have prasadam. So when the devotees carried this message, that sincere disciple was so much in ecstasy that his hair was standing on end. He got all his servants and devotees and family members to fix the house, get all the boga. That he forgot to tell those two devotees, please come in, can I offer you some water? So when they went back to Ramanujacharya, he asked them, how did he react? He said, oh, Guru Maharaj is such an amazing devotee. He was in ecstasy that you were coming and he was so happy to make all the arrangements. And he asked them, how did he treat you? He said, well, we were standing outside. He didn't invite us to come or drink water. Ramanujacharya said, let him know I will not come. So I was heavy. So-called sincere. But not sincere in a broader, with a broader vision. So it's important. Yeah? Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
How a devotee can increase his tolerance of duality. Because one thing that blocks our gratitude is our gratitude oftentimes gets blocked by our absorption in duality. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's like faint remembrances of, uh-huh, you know, the things that people have done for us. But due to our absorption in duality, that becomes a more important feature for us than right, the gratitude point. So I was wondering how we would increase our tolerance level so that we might gain strength to really focus on the gratitude point and gain spiritual strength by that.
My mind is going to pan scale. If this side becomes heavy, the only way to balance is make the other side heavy. Like oftentimes, when we notice our anarthas, we also notice that our absorption in our anarthas grows. Oh, I have this anartha, I have that anartha, I have this anartha. And we'll be only thinking about anartha and not thinking about Krishna. So we've heard the phrase that we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not the International Society for Anartha Consciousness. We're so unconscious of anartha, dualities, however you want to put it. So it says that as soon as there is a recognition, an awareness of an anartha, this side of the pan scale must be strengthened. Gratitude, sadhana, the whole mix of things, to not be so absorbed by, look at that, how much anartha I have. I mean, it's a given. Like, it's not a surprise that our heart is full of anarthas. It's not a surprise. The only surprise is, whoa, I did not realize that. I had not known. I've read everywhere, but I did not know that. Yesterday you quoted Kurma Brahmana telling Lord Chaitanya, my mind is very disturbed by the dualities of life. I mean, he's a fixed up personality. Lord Chaitanya went to his house. But his absorption is not, I'm full of anarthas, I'm full of anarthas. It's an honest admission. But the attention, the effort, the absorption is on the side of transcendence. So we don't have to wait for anarthas to show up to realize, oh, I have pride. We don't have to wait for it. It's a given. It's there. So we spend our energy, or we should spend our energy, in the pure investment of Krishna consciousness. Proper sadhana, proper following of principles, proper etiquettes, proper everything. Then this side of the pan scale will automatically be lighter. So that when the dualities do strike, which by the way they do, we're prepared. To go into any situation unprepared is foolishness. So to go into any situation means we wake up in the morning and we're going to go into the association of devotees. If you're not prepared, it's going to cause problems. What's the preparation? I'm very honored to be in the association of Vaishnavas. They are the greatest benediction Krishna can ever give me. Regardless of how Maya wants to test me in this association, I would like to be humble and take care of my relationships with the devotee. The relationship is more important than who's right or wrong. The duality is, I am right, you're wrong. To hell with the relationship, as long as I'm right. Or, I'm going out for book distribution, going for Harinam, I'm going for my job, and I'm just not prepared that I'm walking into you know, the super heavy three modes of nature. I'm not prepared. Well, we'll see. We will not see anything. The devotees have to come look for us. Hey, Prabhu. So to go into a situation unprepared is terrible. So one of the situations that we know is bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. So to be unprepared is silly. The preparedness is sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. I mean, this is like a broken record. I repeat the same thing again and again. It's just a little boring if you like. Bhajana kriya and sadhu sangha. Bhajana kriya, sadhu sangha. Then anartha nivritti happens. We don't have to focus so much on the duality to solve it. Because that's a material problem and the solution will come up will be a material solution. And we know the answer. Material solutions do not solve material problems. We have to have a spiritual solution. All right. I can't be more emphatic. It's all clogged. But Acharya Nishtha Prabhu, and then who else? Jitendra Prabhu, and then Sriman Computer.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. On the point that one of the greatest qualities of a devotee is their compassion.
Yeah.
I was just kind of considering how that compassion can be expressed. Sometimes when we're new to Krishna consciousness.
Big topic.
When we're new to Krishna consciousness and we hear devotees speak harshly towards non-devotees or towards undevotional activities and those performing them, it can be difficult to stomach, especially if we've also ourselves been in very difficult circumstances. So sometimes it's difficult to digest very, you know, cutting statements that sometimes devotees and even Prabhupada makes. How can we accept the fruit of that instruction and not be disturbed by, you know, perhaps sentimental, or is that a genuine feeling, or is that?
This is a topic that requires like a seminar on of its own, and I don't have the physical strength for it like right now. But the simplest answer to this question is honesty. If we can honestly look at ourselves first, then we can evaluate what the devotee has said is true or not true. Whether it is cutting or scathing or, you know, rubbing the back and, you know, very sweetly, you know, regardless, if you're honest. That's the first step. The honest is that whatever the devotee is saying, is that there in my heart or no? And it may not be that it was not in this situation. We're not talking situation specific, we're talking generally. Is it there or not there? If it is there, then we should accept that Krishna is bringing it to my attention in this way. And sometimes I need bitter medicine. What to do? Sometimes I don't need bitter medicine. So I'm not talking of the side of the devotees that, you know, they could be unrealistically harsh or scathing. That's a possibility. But our business is not there. Our business is here. So if we try to fix others, you were harsh to me, you were harsh to me, you were harsh, you were harsh. I mean, we'll be traveling the whole universe, meeting 6 billion people, telling them they're harsh to us. Because the problem resides here. Whatever it is, harshness. Is. So the first to look at is it genuinely there? Is that difficulty that others are pointing out, is it there or not there? If it is there, then the path is very easy from there on. We can come to the devotees and say, I recognize that I have this in my heart. And I'm trying. Can you help me? When you say it like this, somehow it doesn't help me. Can you say it in a way that helps me? But I recognize it's there. But it also doesn't mean that every time I'm, you know, pampered. It's necessary sometimes.
Thank you. I guess I was thinking also more how when devotees speak harshly towards, like, you know, outsiders, towards those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes it's a sense of compassion. Why are they speaking so heavy against, you know, yeah, they may not be devotees, but, you know, using language like fools and rascals, for example, that sometimes that language can be difficult to digest. You know, it may, as new devotees, may think, why are we, you know, pointing out shortcomings of others? Aren't we supposed to be humble? These are some questions.
I don't know if you're talking of any specific situation, but the general mood is, if the devotees do say fools and rascals, then the general understanding is that the criticism is to the mentality. It's to the mentality. It's a recognition of mentality. Like if someone is, let's say, intoxicated and spaced out and unconscious on the road, then you will say, oh, heavy mode of ignorance person. And then we'll say, why is a jiva? Yeah, but it's affected by mode of ignorance. So it's not a blasphemy towards that soul. It's the, this is the mode of ignorance. Someone is very competitive, say, this is full of mode of passion. So recognition is different from, I've said it differently in other times. I said, there is something called observation, and then there is something called evaluation. Observation is, you know, suppose you go into a bhakta's room or someone's room and the room is dirty and someone says, your room is dirty. It's not an insult. It's an observation. But to say to them, you are filthy, you are garbage, that's an evaluation from there on. See the difference? So to say fools and rascals, is the spirit is mentality. Or the spirit should be mentality. And it's sometimes nice to call it out, not because, you know, we are some special breed or anything. No, we landed straight from Vaikuntha here. It's not like that. Someone brought us into Vaikuntha. But it's a recognition. Jitendra Prabhu? 8:35. Can you please apologize to our computer Prabhu that we might not be able to take that question today? 8:35, yes.
Oh, Kirti Tawas. She had her hand up first.
Between you two, I'll let you sort it out. We have time for one question.
Oh, do you want to take the internet version question first?
I wanted to give you the honor. If you'd like to pass it on, that's up to you.
I was thinking about Durga Pooj and Shivatri. I remember here in 1980 when the temple room was upstairs and we rented out the hall here, the temple president was approached by some people that wanted to have a Durga Puja here for 7 days. They offered $3,000, so he said, okay. The people came in, and it was really out of control. And the neighbors really came down on us because we had just moved into the building, and this was their, you know, what do they say, the first impression is the longest lasting impression. So they were getting intoxicated, they were dancing on the windowsills, they were fighting, they were swearing, they were eating meat, they were drinking, and the neighbors came up and said, you know, what's going on here? I thought you guys were peaceful people. And so that stuck in my mind about, you know, Shivatri and Durga Puja. So, you know, I guess that's well-founded in your decision as to not have it here.
Thank you.
Another thing.
Although it's not true that all Shivratri and Durga Puja are like that, but the point is renting the hall is different from sponsoring or putting together the festival. It's very different things. We can rent a hall to someone, but that's not the same as, please come. the Hare Krishna temple is celebrating such and such festival. Come join us. This, we can't stand there and say to Prabhupada, Namo Vishnu Padaya, and he'll say, move on. Go away from here.
I was thinking also, Acharya Nishta, about being objective. You know, Prabhupada would, you know, refer to us as fools and rascals of all description. And I was thinking about one thing that happened here. There was some incident, and there was a, this was when Preetu Shrava was the temple president. There was a fellow, he was a police officer, and he was a black-bodied police officer. And something happened, and we were trying to figure out who did it, you know. And I asked him, I said, well, what color were they? And he says, that doesn't matter. And I said, well, were they black or white, or were they Hispanics? And he says, that doesn't matter. And I said, well, you know, we're just trying to be objective here. And he says, no, you're being prejudiced. You know, so he wouldn't even disclose on who they were, and then later they found out they were black-bodied rascals. So that just came to the surface. But we have to be objective in who's who, the culture.
Rascaldom is in consciousness, not in body color.
Yeah, right.
That's the point we're making here.
Thank you.
Okay. It's already late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sorry, apologies to our online friends.